T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back. I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact. But I'll never forget.
Making his debut as artist of the day, Meatloaf, here on Dana and Parks. I'm going to basically take the next hour off and just listen to two really good friends talk to each other. Telephone number here, if you have a question, is 576-7798. Dana writes over there, and her dear friend Minnie Corporan is joining us on the hotline, and I will see you in 1 hour. Goodbye.
We're having some technical difficulties.
Oh, Dana.
So I'm going to go refresh Dana and chat with Mindy.
All right. Mindy, good afternoon. Welcome. Glad to have you on. Dana, we're having trouble getting... How are you doing?
I'm well. Obviously, you can hear me, so that's great.
We can hear you loud and clear. We're trying to get Dana on so you guys can have your long-distance conversation.
Yes.
But Dana wanted me to mention that you've started something called workplacehealing.com. What's that all about?
Yes. So when I started going back to work after the shooting in 2014, even though I was the CEO of a company and had lots of flexibility in my company and employees and co-founder and all that gave me lots of flexibility, it was very difficult to re-engage. And so 2.5 years ago, I met with a friend of mine, Lisa Cooper, and we have created a new company called Workplace Healing. And what we work on is helping managers and supervisors, CEOs, HR directors understand that when someone comes back to work after a life disruption or is working during a life disruption, which we are all doing right now, that extra empathy is needed. And we talk about that, and we have some special techniques and innovative solutions to help people be really friendlier and congenial to those employees so that they get the best out of those team members and that those team members can really heal effectively.
Mindy, why are people, and some more than others, so bad at grief and what to say and what not to say? And I know, I'm sure that you experience some of that. If it's someone close to you, like a friend, it's a lot easier for most people to engage after a loss than it is with someone at work. And should it really be any different?
So let me just say, okay, yes, I have experienced people saying things to me that were hurtful when I'm sure they did not intend for it to be hurtful. And I have also done the same thing. I have made the mistake of saying that something that was probably not the right thing to say at that time. I mean, a simple statement, how are you, can really send someone off a ledge when they are not in a good way, and they're not in a good way yet. And so why do people not know what to say? I think because most people have not experienced a lot of loss and tragedy. And we're hearing about things more now, but that's because of social media. But just because we're hearing about it doesn't mean that it's really affecting us. And the importance of giving some guidance is what we're doing. We're giving permission and we're giving guidance for a conversation in the workplace, because if someone is in a significant life disruption and comes back to the workplace and people ignore them because they don't want to say something wrong, and they think, well, if I say nothing, that's better, and actually that's not better, because what you've done is you've ignored something very significant in their life,
right.
And they will probably leave your company. They won't be able to stay long. And so we want managers and employers to understand that you can open that door and have a conversation, and we give some training on how to have that conversation.
It's interesting you brought up how are you, because that's the go-to for most people. When something happens with someone that you work with and they come back, and whether that's death, divorce, family crisis, your go-to is, hey, how was your weekend? How are you? And you're saying that's not always the right thing to ask, because especially after a death, well, how do you think I am? I'm terrible.
That's right. Life sucks. It's really crappy right now. And so if you're going to ask the question, how are you, in a break room or walking down the hall passing someone, that's not the right question to ask. You really don't want the answer. I mean, if you want to know how someone is, then you want to schedule time with them and say to them, I really do want to hear how you are. But other comments to make are, I am thinking of you. I am sorry for your loss. We don't know what to say to you. Just know that we care about you. Those are things to say.
It's okay to say we don't know what to say?
Yes, yes. It is okay to say, I don't know what to say to you right now. I feel very badly for what has happened to you. I hope someday I can help you. Those are all good things to say. And that's what we talk about in our workshop, is we give the employers and coworkers an option, because many coworkers do want to help. And believe me, there's the coworker that does not want to hold someone's hand. There's the coworker that doesn't want to be there when someone else is crying, and that's fine. But maybe that coworker can go buy lunch one day. And then the coworker who wants to sit and cry with you or sit and hold your hand and hear the stories, then everyone gets a role in helping re-employ that person. We call it reintegrating them. And one of our last quadrants is called employer-employee engagement. And we talk about the importance of building a plan before said employee comes back to the office. You know, if they've lost their husband, they've lost a child, they've just gone through cancer treatment, we want to give them a plan of action on the way back in.
But Mindy, in fairness to the awkward employee, isn't how you doing kind of your default go-to just way of saying hello? They're not trying to be rude. They're not trying to be hurtful. But, you know, I mean, I can't count how many times I've passed somebody that I sort of recognize, don't really know, and my go-to is just, how you doing? And I know the
right
answer is probably, oh, I'm doing horribly, thank you very much. I just lost my mom last week.
Right. So they didn't answer you that way, did they?
No, they didn't. They would just say, I'm doing fine.
Right. And so as a person who's been afflicted by such a horrific pain and grief, and when people said, how are you? I wanted to stab them with a knife. I mean,
yeah.
it's just so painful. And so I'm trying to help people understand that. And again, I've made the mistake too. That is our go-to. That is our go-to. But if you know you're going to see someone in the workplace, be prepared to say something different. To be prepared with a different statement. I am sorry for your loss. I don't know what to say to you right now. And then look at them and see what they say back. See if they take the lead. Often the person who's been disrupted is learning how to take the lead and help you through the conversation. And it's totally okay to stumble through it. But when people would ask how I am, there were a few times when I said, do you really want to know?
Right.
Do you really want to know? I'll tell you. I didn't sleep. I barely showered. My son hates me. You know, this is what's happening in our household. We're all grieving differently. I mean, really, someone doesn't want me to lay all that on them, especially in the workplace. So that's another key reason why these able conversations need to take place when someone comes back in. Because if they don't take place, then that wall gets built and that communication goes away. And you might have an angry, you know, employee on your hands who can't function like they used to. And you wonder why. Hey, it's been 6 months. Why isn't she functioning better? Why is she blowing up in the meeting?
Yeah.
Probably because people ignored her.
Well, and people also, Mindy, have this anxiety around grief and loss that they're so worried they're going to say the wrong thing you know, to Scott's point, the default is, hey, how you doing? And I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because you're right. That's the worst thing you can ask someone walking down a hallway on your way to the bathroom. You're not really asking how they're doing. You're just vomiting out words because you don't know what else to say.
Right. You're vomiting out words because you're uncomfortable, and you're putting your uncomfortableness out there and saying, okay, I'm uncomfortable about your pain. I don't want to touch your pain. And that's fine. That's understandable. I know people don't want to touch my pain. And I remember when we talked on another call, Dana, you said, I don't like grief. I don't like sadness. I want to set it aside. Yeah, me too. I want to set it aside. But when you live with it and people bring it up in an odd way like that, it gets touched, and it's going to get touched at some point. So if I've had cancer treatments for 6 weeks and I'm coming back into the office and people don't say anything to me, I'm going to feel really, you know, left out and not cared for. Like, what happened to my team members? And it's okay for my team members to say, Dana, I don't know what to say to you right now. It's okay to say that. That's just an admission of, yeah, I'm thinking of you. Because if I can admit I don't know what to say to you, I'm admitting I'm thinking of you. And so that's how important the plan is. And it's called ABLE. It's called ABLE. Ask, believe, listen, engage.
I love it.
Mindy Corporate is joining us. You can check out her website, workplacehealing.com. More with her in just a moment on the other side here on Dana and Parks.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I've got 7 women.
Welcome back. We'll be taking your calls right after the 3:30 news. Dana, you're going to have to take over. I'm having, it's a coughing fit. It's not coronavirus related. I promise. Mindy Corporan joining us with workplacehealing.com. And Dana, you're now in charge.
We are missing Dana again. Give me 1 second.
Which, of course, we are now missing Dana as I go through a coughing fit. Jesus, God in heaven. Mindy, we do this with everyone on the show.
Talking, Scott.
Yeah, start talking. What are you binging on?
So we actually, in terms of TV, we watched Chernobyl. We watched Chernobyl early on. It was fascinating to watch Chernobyl. And then we realized that our son Lucas had never seen Godfather. So we watched Godfather, The Godfather, and then Godfather 2 is next on the list.
Can you hear me yet? Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Did you know that that people are paying money to go into that contamination zone? Like,
I don't want to do that. You're muted again. So I'll just carry on for you, Dana.
Well,
Watch Tiger King. Also, I know Tiger King has been something that a lot of people have been talking about, and we watched Tiger King too.
All the way to the end?
Yes, all the way to the end.
All right, yes. We finished episode 5 last night. I think it was episode 5. 4 or 5, I can't remember.
Okay. I think there's 6, right?
No, there's 7. I think 7 is like the wrap-up episode or whatever.
Okay. Well, I feel confident we watched all of them because I know where he is right now.
Well, I mean, they tell you that in the beginning. They tell you he's in prison.
Right, right. But, I mean, it doesn't change in the end. That's my point, is that you hear...
Oh, he doesn't get out.
...how it gets to that point. That's right. Not out yet. Doesn't look like it.
Oh, the dumb baby doesn't get out of prison?
Right. So my husband said that he heard him interviewed, Tiger King interviewed from prison, and that there's supposed to be a movie about it now, and he wants Brad Pitt to play him.
Okay. Okay. He is the most narcissistic, egomaniacal, and they all are. They're all crazy. They're all nuts. The woman down in Florida, the guy up in North Carolina, they're all crazy.
I thought so, too. I mean, it's interesting that it's named Tiger King and it's so focused on him, but yet when they pull in those other characters, I was like, they're all very strange. There are all these people and they're animals and they're homemade zoos. I didn't even know that that really existed.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, like, big cat zoos, refuges, whatever you want to call them, around the country. Dana, I think you're back, by the way.
I am, and I was laughing out loud at the Brad Pitt comment. Oh my gosh. You could hear me from wherever you are, Mindy. You could hear me laughing when you said that.
Yes.
You know who needs to play him, who actually sort of looks like him, is David Spade from Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
That is correct. He does look like him.
Hey, Mindy, because I know we're short on time, apparently, because my mic doesn't work, and you're short on time because you're the busiest woman I know. Give us a little bit about what's coming up with 7 Days, and April is always the month that we all dive in, and I've always loved taking part in that organization. What is going on this year because of the pandemic?
Yes, so we have taken 7 Days virtual. We were asked and asked ourselves very early on, what are we going to do with 7 Days? And I felt a very kind of visceral reaction to, this is a time where we need to push into people's homes and people who are isolated and need us more than ever to be engaged. And so we've been holding prequels. They're little short 20 to 30 minute conversations that give people an opportunity to log into a Zoom call, to understand how to use the chat button, how to use the question and answer, how to mute themselves, unmute themselves. And that's not the whole thing. We actually have a guest on. So we've had a rabbi on. We had Rabbi Jonathan Rudnick one episode. We had Marianne McCormally last night on Catholicism. And we've had Emmanuel Cleaver the third on. So we represented Christianity. And Reverend Kelly Ifala has been on. So we have another rabbi coming on. We have Lama Matt coming on with the Buddhism. So we're engaging these our panelists, and we ask them to not wait until 7 Days starts on April 21, but actually start early. So we started early in engaging people. So almost all of our activities are at 7:30 Central Time. We're hoping that is after dinner now that everyone's lives have been changed. So we're looking at a 7:30 start time. They're lasting about 30 minutes. And then on April 21, we will host a Love Day panel. And Dr. Nicole Price is going to have a conversation about biases. And then each day has been retooled. I really want to share with your audience about Discover Day. Discover Day is our second day, and it's April 22nd. And typically, we're all about discovering a new faith or discovering diversity. But this year, our students, our Kindness Youth Leadership Team kids said things are so sad for them with their lives and upheaval with no school, no graduation, no prom. They said, what can we do that is happy? And we are discovering heroes. Our Discover Day has been completely retooled, and we are asking people to nominate heroes from our website or our Facebook page. Send in a video, and on Discover Day, we will be playing all those nominations. So it's not like we're going to judge them. We just want people to show who's making masks, who's baking cookies, who's helping their neighbor, who's singing songs to their neighbor. We want to see those videos and be uplifting. So Discover Day is discovering our heroes.
And where can people go to nominate? Remind people, Mindy.
www.give7days.org, GiveSevenDays.org.
Give7days.org.
Mindy, always good to talk to you. You take care of yourself. Be safe. Be well.
Thank you all. Have a fun day. And you look very safe because you're not together.
Now, it's been kind of nice. I'm not going to lie.
Keeps my face from getting pounded in.
Bye, Mindy.
576-7798. News is next.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit.
Telephone number here is 576.
He took the midnight train going.
Whoa, what are you on about? Whoa.
Because I dread this conversation, this next segment, but it's an important one that we have to have.
Okay.
You know, you always say, Scott, where do your rights end and mine begin? Where, you know, all of that stuff.
Sure.
So you know that the governor of Kansas, and I need to check on Missouri because they're so far behind with this whole coronavirus thing, but the governor of Kansas came out and said that they do not want any religious services for people, 10 people or more, and that includes Easter week, okay?
Which was this Sunday, a week ago.
Yeah.
Well, Palm Sunday was last weekend. This is Easter Sunday coming up, yeah.
And so everyone freaked out, and the... It's getting dicey because there are people saying that that is a violation of the Constitution. If you tell me I cannot physically go into a building in a church with hundreds of other people, I don't agree with that argument. But the Attorney General is saying he believes the executive order restricting religious gatherings to no more than 10 violates the Kansas Constitution. So they are now advising law enforcement, and I feel so bad if you're in law enforcement right now because no one can make up their damn mind on what we're doing with any of this, but they are advising law enforcement against enforcing the governor's directive. They're also advising against prosecution. So they're basically saying if you all want to go gather in a church, you know, 500 people, whatever, have at it. The problem with that is, Scott, three of the outbreaks in Kansas are tied directly to religious services. In fact, they've updated the story today where there have been several deaths, I think six dead, that all tie back to religious gatherings. And so I don't know what the answer is. You do have the right to practice your religion. Does that mean you have the constitutional right to gather in one building with hundreds of other people to practice your religion? What is the answer there?
Here's, and like I, you may have heard me say under my breath, how do I think? And that wasn't like, how do I think, because I don't think, for those of you who don't like me very much. I didn't know my thoughts on this. I do now, and they are these. Number one, my first thought was, why? And listen, I believe in Jesus. I go to church as much as I can, not as much as I should. Why would you want to expose yourself and potentially other people to this God forsaken virus? Why? God can hear you if you're praying at home just as well as he can hear you if you're praying in a church. The second thing is that I thought was, who are these absolutely irresponsible church pastors who are opening up their churches and allowing people to come in and potentially be exposed? How almost said a bad word.
Well,
how
but we
stupid
don't know.
Do you have to be?
I know. We don't know that there are any pastors here agreeing to do it. We know in other parts of the country, Idaho,
That's what I'm talking about.
We're seeing it.
Yes. And we saw it down in Texas, in Houston. I believe there was Houston, where there was a pastor who had a pretty big church, not a mega church, but a pretty big church. And he was opening up his doors saying, come stop me, blah, blah, blah. Okay, tough guy. And the third thing is, the First Amendment of the Constitution gives you the freedom of religion. Nobody's telling you you can't be a Christian. Nobody's telling you you can't be a Muslim or a Jew or a Hindu or a Buddhist. They're just telling you that if you are a Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Jew, you don't get to go into that building for a little while. Nobody's taking away your First Amendment rights. I have a First Amendment right to free speech. That doesn't mean that my boss can't say, go home and have your First Amendment.
Let's not make it about religion because that always gets very dicey when we do. Let's make it about assemble. You have the constitutional right to assemble, okay?
But you have the constitutional right to petition. But the Constitution is not specific about the number regarding the assembly.
And that's my point, Scott. You have the constitutional right to assemble in America.
Correct.
However, if you gathered 1,000 of your best friends and said, meet me at the J.C. Nichols fountain on the plaza, and we're all going to stand right on top of each other and assemble, you would probably be arrested. That's my guess right now, if you had that many people assembling. It doesn't mean you don't have the right. It means right now they are doing their damnedest to, within the framework of that document, make sure we don't leave assembly or our petition or our church gathering and go out and infect 1,000 other people. And right. Scott, maybe we need to go back and reread the Constitution. I don't remember anywhere in there it saying you had the absolute right to go into a building with hundreds of other people and do your religion thing.
No, but Dana, the First Amendment does give you the vested right to assemble. And you could make the argument. And the Constitution is intentionally vague if we're going to talk about the Constitution. I mean, look at the – and I'm not trying to get into a gun debate. Look at the Second Amendment if you need proof that the Constitution is intentionally vague. And you have freedom of religion. Well, what does that mean? Do I have the right to be a Satan worshiper and do a human sacrifice? Of course I don't. Why, Scott? Because to do a human sacrifice would mean to violate somebody else's rights. And so your rights only extend, and I say this probably far too much on the show, your rights only extend so far as they don't infringe upon mine. Well, guess what, dum-dum? You going into a church and then mingling with me at the grocery store is infringing upon my right. Religion is important to people, and I respect that, and I understand that. But can you not take a break from the church for a couple of months?
Scott, make it about assemble, and here's why. The religion debate just makes everybody mad. Make it about assemble.
Okay.
The very fact that we are under a stay-at-home order flies in the face of assemble. I can't assemble with 11 people right now. Where in the Constitution does it say that's okay, but we're all doing it?
But Dana, you shouldn't assemble with 9 people right now.
Well, I know, but Scott, my point is police could arrest you. They could ticket you. Some of the fines are like $8,000 in some cities. They could do those things just for you leaving your house when you're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the world we live in right now.
576-7798, 576-7798. Rex in Merriam and the others, hang tight. We'll get with all of you in just a moment. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie the Third. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger.
Welcome back. I need to look this up during the top of the hour news. But CNN is just running a ticker that says Jared Kushner's team, I guess they're separate from the coronavirus team. I don't know. I have no idea. This is not a political commentary. But they are considering some sort of coronavirus tracking system.
You know, they're already looking at cell phone patterns in the state of Kansas.
Oh, yeah. They're doing that nationwide, Dana. They're doing that in Europe, too, mm-hmm. where they can tell they don't know who, which maybe is how they're able to skirt the law a little bit, but they know if people are traveling more than 2 miles away or 3 miles away. Well, a number of people are still considered essential employees. I would imagine a lot of the people that work at Hy-Vee here in Mission don't live in Mission. I would imagine a lot of the police officers live more than 2 miles away from their house.
Yeah, but back up here. For them to know that you're traveling more than 2 miles, someone has to be watching all of those dots and figuring out, okay, this dot's here for 10 hours at night. Yeah. That's probably home. And then let's watch that dot and see where that dot's going. How do they know where you live if they aren't spying on the origin of the dot to then track where the dot's going during the day?
Well, they may not know where you live. They might be able to assume where you live. But they know that in, as you mentioned, Dana, it was a good point. In this dot, you sat quietly for 10 minutes or 10 hours. And in the next dot, you went somewhere for that was 10 miles away for 8 hours. Then you left that dot and you went back to the other dot and stayed there for a long time.
I will say on my phone, Google can tell me where my house is and where my work is.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm glad you brought that up, Sam. If I stay the night at Kelly's house I can get in the car in the morning and my phone knows that I'm at Kelly's house. And then when I get in the car, it knows that more often than not from that location, I drive back to my house. Not always, but more often than not. And it will say 20 minutes to home, take Shawnee Mission Parkway, traffic is light. Or when I leave my house at, say, 11:30 in the morning, and I don't know why it always picks KCSP, 610 Sports, but when I get in my car, it says distance to KCSP, 6 minutes, take the street I live on, traffic is light.
Yeah, and then super awkward, it says, why aren't you walking?
Okay. I see how we're going to play this game. Rex and Miriam. Rex, good afternoon. Hello, my friend.
Hi, Rex.
Dana, here's your world-famous Sabbatarian here. wanting to comment on assembling and so forth. And in general, don't go crazy here, but in general, I think God's law overrules man's law. However, I don't think a person has a right to be stupid. And, in this day and age, we just, some of us just had a Bible study through Zoom.
Yeah.
And so we didn't have any physical contact, but, everything went fine. And, I think God makes exceptions to things. He wants us to assemble, but, putting your brother at risk is not showing love to your neighbor, in my view.
That's right.
So anyway, just wanted to.
Yeah, good call. That's what Pastor Hamilton said the other day, that this is more about protecting others, the vulnerable in our community, and that's what we should all be doing. I mean, Scott, there are people in the worst, most evil parts of this pandemic who are not allowed to physically say goodbye to a loved one who is dying. Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard for me to understand if people are dying alone because you don't have the right to go say goodbye to your mother or your spouse. It's hard for me to square that 300 other people have the right to go into a building on Sunday or any other day of the week at risk to all of us.
You'll get no argument from me. Larry in Lewisburg. Hello, Larry.
Hey, I was just going to say on this everybody wanting to go to church thing, if they have to, I mean, why don't they just have the pastors or the fathers have 4 or 5 services a day? Because a church will hold, what, 200 people, 250 people? Well, you put them in there in groups of 10 in each pew, divide them up, so many feet apart, have another group of 10, and then just have 4 or 5 services a day. Now they're going to have to cut it short because, well, some of them could get a little windy. But, well, it's the truth. Good Lord. But, just cut the services a little short. Have 4 or 5 of them on Easter day. And then say, get on out of here,
Peace be with you. Get on out.
Exactly.
Peace be with you. Get on out. Larry, it's an interesting point, but if somebody comes in, one of those 10, and they have coronavirus, they're putting the coronavirus all over the pew.
Especially if you're singing.
And I understand that. But I mean, you get all these village idiots whining and crying, oh, I have to go to church. And well, no, you don't have to do anything. But watch it on TV, for God's sake.
Yes.
But I mean, hell, those TV evangelists, they'll take your money just as easy as they will at church if you're sitting there.
But interesting point. Joel Osteen, by the way, 9 o'clock every Sunday morning on Channel 9. Uh-huh. And I know that because I watch him. I enjoy Joel Osteen.
You don't watch the guy who was up the other day saying he was going to pray the COVID away?
No.
See that guy?
Yes, I saw him. He's
God.
Crazy. Well, there's this one guy in the middle of the night. He's on my channel 15. I don't know what channel he's on your cable network. But be wary of charlatans. However, I sent an email to my pastor today, and I said, Pastor, I haven't been in church lately for obvious reasons. I said, can I have the address so I can just send a check? I mean, if the church needs money, I'll send money.
You're like, I haven't been in so long, I don't even know the address.
I said, I don't even know where you are. I don't even know who you are.
Where is it again?
Is it Knox with an X or with a CKS?
He's like, Scott, same address it's always been.
We're still here, Scott. You're
still
not.
Still here.
576-7798. News is next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.